Good morning and welcome to the table. It is good to be together as God's people. We're going to begin this morning with a pause for prayer. I think that people heard the news this week of another precious child of God who lost her life at the end of gun violence from a police officer. Her name is Sonia Massey, and we're going to open this morning with prayer for all of us and God's people. Let us pray. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. That is what is written in Isaiah. Her name, God, we say and pray her name, Sonia Massey. We despair her loss. We grieve her violent death. We rage against the horror of her killing, and in your mercy, God, help us root out the source of all our brokenness, healing from compounding drama and trauma, and find your path to peace. Help us to hold a mirror to our society, to honestly examine that which triggers violence, and dedicate ourselves to supporting, not destroying, life. God of justice and mercy, in our efforts to dismantle racism and misogyny, we understand that we struggle not merely against our own bodies, but against powers and empires, those institutions and systems that keep racism and misogyny alive by perpetuating the lie that some members of our family are inferior and others superior. Violence is not your way, O God, and thus violence cannot be our way. We lift our prayers of grief, our lament for Sonia, her family, her community. We lift our prayers of grief for that police department and all of the officers involved in their community. We lift our prayers for understanding, accounting for doing harm, and for healing. In the wake of her death, we say and pray her name. Sonia Massey is yours, God. Called and claimed, redeemed by your grace and glory, have mercy upon us, God, and guide our hearts in your way of justice, and so guide our feet to follow in your way of love. Let the people say amen.
Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Guide
Amen. You may be seated as we move into prayer.
This morning, the redbird's eggs have hatched, and already the chicks are chirping for food. They don't know where it's coming from. They just keep shouting, "More, more." As to anything else, they haven't had a single thought. Their eyes haven't opened. They know nothing about the sky that's waiting, or the thousands, the millions of trees. They don't even know they have wings. And just like that, like a simple neighborhood event, a miracle is taking place.
We are open air.
Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. Let's breathe in and breathe out. Whenever I listen to that song, my hips is always moving. Like, my hips don't lie. I love that. I love the beating and the drum. Poof. Welcome those who are online. Our host, Jay, is with you. So if you have any questions, please reach out to Jay and she will provide all the information. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to 916-452-5016. Texting new to this number will help you connect with me and our co-pastors and also help you learn more about our ministries. If you're interested in learning more about Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, text the word farm to the same number. This will help you learn more about our farm and the ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give away through South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. Last week, Pastor Linda messaged me about our kitchen, and it was all hands on deck. Basically, we had some food and some items that need to be cleared out from our kitchen. And we did that. After cleaning up here, we were all there, and there were a group of us. We were just making sure everything was cleared out. And good news, we have some test bread that we are giving out this morning and today. Andy will be bringing out outside, and you can take some test bread out. Izukue was here following this whole of this week. During the weekday, he was making some bread and testing out our kitchen, and everything looks amazing. And this morning when I walked in, there were bread, and just the smell of this beautiful, beautiful bread just gives you that feeling of warmth and love and care. So we have done some test bread, and you, if you're interested, you can always take those test bread and test it out. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as we continue to move in worship with a gospel tune, God Specialize.
Sure. and in despair.
My name is Bob Martinez, and yes, God specializes, but our music team specializes in making crazy, beautiful music. At this time, I want to invite our children to move with their gracious volunteers outside for our summer children's activities as our musicians provide a little walking music. Beautiful morning out there. Our reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations Version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. Now, after this, Creator sets free, Jesus, went over to the other side of Lake of Circle of Nations, the Sea of Galilee, also called Sea of Rolling Water, the Sea of Tiberias. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the powerful signs he performed, healing the sick. Creator sets free, walked up to the mountainside, and sat down with his followers. Soon it would be time again for the yearly Passover festival for the tribes of wrestles with Creator, Israel. From the mountainside, Creator Sets Free could see how large the crowd following behind him had become. There were over 5,000 men, along with women and children. He then looked at Friend of Horses, Philip, and said, "Where will we find enough food to feed all of these people?" He said this to test him, for he already knew what he would do. Friend of Horses took a step back and looked at him with wide eyes. He was not sure whether Creator Sets Free was serious or not. Friend of Horses answered, "8 moons worth of gathered food would only give them enough for one small bite apiece." Stand with Courage, Andrew, one of the 12, the brother of Stands on the Rock, Peter, tried to be helpful, and he said, "Here is a boy with 5 pieces of fry bread and 2 small fish, but how would that possibly be enough?" Creator Sets Free said to them, "Have the people sit down on the grass." There was much grass there, So all of the 5,000 men began to sit down, along with the women and the children. Creator Sets Free waited patiently for them to finish. When they were all settled down, he had the ones who walked the road with him bring baskets and stand in a circle around them. He took the 5 pieces of fried bread given by the little boy and held them up to the sky. He gave thanks to the Great Spirit and began to break the fried bread into smaller pieces and gave them to his followers to give to the people. In the same manner, he also divided the 2 fish, and they were given out to the people. Everyone ate until they were full. When they were done eating, he instructed them to gather the leftovers of fish and fried bread, so nothing would go to waste. It took 12 baskets to hold it all. The people began to realize what had happened. This was a powerful sign that Creator Sets Free had just performed. They began to wonder who this man was who could do such amazing things. Like wildfire, the hopes and the dreams of many generations began to rise in their hearts and in their minds. They were saying to one another, "This must be the prophet spoken of long ago who would come into the world." Creator Sets Free knew in his spirit that the people were about to take him by force to make him their chief. So he left the crowd and went to a quiet place on the mountainside to be alone and to pray. Later, as the sun began to set, his followers climbed into a canoe to go to Village of Comfort, Capernaum, on the other side. Darkness was beginning to creep across the water with no sign of Creator Sets Free, so they pushed off from the shore. As they continued to paddle, lightning flashed in the distance, and the sound of thunder rolled across the sky. A strong wind blew in over the waters. The waves grew large and pounded against all of them, threatening to overturn the canoe. They were pulling hard on the paddles, trying to make headway, but had only traveled partway across the great lake and were still a long way from land. They looked out through the storm, and their eyes grew wide with fear, for they saw Creator Sets Free coming toward them, walking on the water. Creator Sets Free saw the fear in their faces and called out to them, "Do not fear. Take heart. It is I." When they knew it was Creator Sets Free, they were glad to bring him into the canoe, and suddenly they were at the shoreline on the other side of the great lake.
Well, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the 2024 Summer Olympics kicked off on Friday. Friday night had an amazing ceremony. I found it completely delightful. The museum painting pieces came alive. Dancers were dancing in water, also known as rain. The whole thing happened in a rainstorm. Singers performing solos on rooftops, and of course, Gaga. Oh. And then Snoop Dogg. Now, those of you who are my age know this is amazing. Like, that's just amazing for those of us who love Snoop Dogg. And that masked torchbearer. Oh, man. Yeah. Just leave that up there for a second, Corey. Is he Belphegor, Phantom of the Louvre? The Iron Mask from Phantom of the Opera? French crime character, Fantomas? Ezio from Assassin's Creed, that's what my children said. or Arsène Lupin. Maybe he represents a bit of all of them. Just wow. I want to share that ever since we did a worship series featuring the work of poet Ross Gay, the word delight has been a companion of mine. And it's also, it turns out, in my mom says weird words all the time, like she says radio instead of radio, and your front street, and she says you're out in the highway, right? But one word my mom has always used is, it's delightful. And I think of Ross Gay and my mom, and despite online naysayers, I believe that opening ceremony was delightful. And this week we're beginning a new worship series for 3 weeks. As the world turns to the Olympics, so will we. We're calling it Olympic Faith. And as the torch was lit, I don't know about you, but I didn't know what was going to happen. And imagine my delight as I realized it was a full-on hot air balloon that miraculously, it seemed to me, began to rise above the city. I did a little research. It's on the ground from 11 a.m. to 7 in Paris, and then it rises at 7 p.m. and stays aloft until 2 o'clock in the morning. Just imagining walking the city streets of Paris with that above you. The Olympics are the home of miracles, and so is the Bible. And I find that delightful too. An ancient text alongside an ancient tradition, the Olympics, and our beautiful and complicated, messy lives of today. Delightful. And for me, when it comes to Olympic moments, the United States, I'm going to date myself now. There was that 1980, they call it the Miracle on Ice. I don't have a picture. It was against the Soviet Union, and it makes my top 10 list because a team of mostly amateur players took down the four-time defending gold medal championships. And it really, the Miracle on Ice encapsulates what can captivate the world during the globe's biggest sporting event. Maybe some of you have different moments. Cary Graft winning gold for U.S. Gymnastics on vault and then being carried off by her coach. Michael Phelps and his amazing swimming prowess and the transparency he has lived since his winning, sharing his challenges with depression. That's a true Olympic miracle. Michael Johnson and his 4 gold medals sprinting in the 200 and the 400, and he is an amazing measure of a man. Simone Biles, the women's team, amazing to behold. The Summer Olympics have played host to some just amazing upsets as well in their 128-year history. I know technically it's ancient, but I'm just talking about the modern Olympics. From the track to the pool to the court, there's always a chance someone could create the next great miracle ending. And one of the greatest miracle endings in the Bible is the story we heard Bob read for us, and I just find it a delight as well. And with the help of Mennonite pastor Reverend Joanna Harader, she wrote an amazing essay. I know I'm using superlatives, but that's what happens to me during the Olympics. Her essay was called Delighting in the Story of John 6. So, of course, I dove straight into it. So I want to set it up with her help. Each of the 4 Gospels writers records the life of Jesus in their own way. Some of us, that is news. So there are 4 unique accounts of the life of Jesus, picking and choosing from all the stories they knew about what Jesus had said and did. Each writer created a unique combination. Only Matthew and Luke write about the birth of Jesus, for example, while John is the only gospel that tells the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The Sermon on the Mount is only recorded in Matthew, while Luke includes about half of that same sermon in his gospel, but he says it took place on a wide plain. So one thing that all gospel writers include, though, is their account of the story we heard read for us this morning about the miraculous feeding of 5,000 people. It would seem that the story is just too important to leave out, too important to the life of the church. This story is about Jesus' ability to provide for their needs, and not just their spiritual needs, but their human needs too. When they were sick, Jesus healed them. When they were sad, Jesus blessed them. When hungry, Jesus fed them. There are quite a few bread miracles included in the Bible and in our kitchen. But this one is really impressive. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. He tells us from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, or fry bread and fishes, as we heard this morning. This amounts to enough for a small town. The meal multiplies so much that no one can eat anymore, and then they have 12 baskets full of scraps. It's a miracle, and maybe that should just be the end of it. But a miracle is such a delightful happening that many of us can't stop reveling and wondering about them. We wonder, like, what are the details exactly? Did it happen all at once? Did it happen as the loaves were being passed? When someone tore off, this is what I used to think when I was little. When someone tore off a piece of bread, did the bread just grow back? Right? It happens in the cartoons, so it made sense to me. Do new loaves appear when no one's looking? What constitutes a miracle? The writer of John's Gospel doesn't answer any of our questions like that. But Frederick Buechner, in his book Wishful Thinking, does. And this is what he writes. A miracle is when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. A miracle is where 1 + 1 = 1,000. That's my kind of math. It is a math in which holiness inhabits the practice of noticing and delighting in God's world. And holiness inhabits the practice of delighting in God's word. And it is what I hope happens in our kitchen tables, for example, even here in worship. We hear the word read aloud, and then we respond in real time from the fabric of our lives. One of the ways this helps me is the way it shifts my focus. So often I come to Scripture with one single question: what do you have for my message this week? Even in my kitchen table. So my kitchen table meets on Thursday nights, and sometimes we depart and do things in a different order, but they all say, are you preaching Sunday? Do you need our help? It's true. It's less often that I simply allow myself to delight and appreciate the biblical text. Turns out our text for this week is really delightful. So how about we just appreciate it together for a few minutes? The first delight is the opening, after this. This refers to Jesus being harassed and grilled by his religious adversaries. So the fact that it is after this is delightful. They're going to grill him. He's going to feed 5,000 people. The mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, went swimming in the Seine to counter her critics and prove the river's safety ahead of the Olympic Games. I thought she was so amazing. Jesus just went to the other side of the sea. And I think the ocean was really clean back then. He decides he doesn't owe it to all of his critics to answer their loaded questions, and that he doesn't have to justify himself to them. He goes to the other side of the sea. And I'm delighted that he just walks away from those who expect him to stay and engage on their terms. I imagine him, talk to the hand, dudes, talk to the hand. And the crowd also delights me. Thousands of people are following Jesus because they long for something they don't know how to find anywhere else: physical healing, spiritual revival, wisdom, connection to God. I delight in their unapologetic fandom. All of these people who have become Jesus people and following him across the seas and up the mountains into the wide plains, I don't know about you, but I feel that way a lot about Simone Biles. I really do, actually, about the whole women's gymnastics team. They have an amazing fan base, and there was this moment when, what's his name? John Singer, married to Christy. John Legend was there with his children. John Legend, I mean, he's a big guy, and they're just jumping up and down going, Simone, Simone, Simone. And so it was a moment of pure bliss of seeing someone really famous being just parents of very excited children. Amazing fan base. I also delight in the hope the people exhibit, a hope that's particularly unexpected and unjustified considering the terribly harsh conditions that most of the first century Jewish peasants would have been living under in the Roman Empire. How can hope like that not be delightful? It makes me think of the perseverance of Olympic athletes, especially but not exclusively women who are from Afghanistan. There is a team of expatriates. They call it the refugee team. I couldn't find a picture of that, but I'm sure Matt will show it next week. After fleeing war and persecution at home, we have 37 athletes from 11 countries who will compete in the Paris Games as part of the refugee Olympic team. It was created at the Rio Olympics in 2016 as a symbol of hope and to call attention to the life of refugees. Back to our story. Philip delights me with his earnest and completely unhelpful answer to Jesus' question. Andrew delights me with his what should have been equally unhelpful introduction of the boy with his lunchbox. And this child deeply delights me with his extravagant generosity and utter cluelessness about how much food it actually takes to feed 5,000 people. It's like when a child offers to help their parents buy a new house by giving their piggy bank, right? Or it happens to me now every week again with my grandson who asks me to kiss it and make it better. And I kiss it and then he just goes back and plays. It's so sweet, not really helpful, but also delightful. And of course, the most delightful of all is the miracle itself that Jesus has the people sit down in the great deal of delightful grass and then proceeds to provide enough food for 5,000 people with 12 baskets left over. Some people believe this was an absolute miracle, a banquet from 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's just delightful. Others will propose that the boy's generosity and Jesus' teaching inspired the people in the crowd to bring out their lunch boxes and share food with each other. They would say it's simple addition. To me, this is no less delightful than an outright miracle, because that's what I call miracle math. And our treasurer's sitting right there. Miracle math, that's the kind I know, Kelly. When people manage to create something together, and that's what you lead us to do, that is greater than the sum of what we can do on our own. Further, I think this just might delight God. And you know what else? Based on this one act, the people want to make Jesus their king. And I find it delightful because it is a good thing God's people do not need a king, but because it is such a human thing to overreact and to misunderstand and to long for some kind of leader who will do all the work for us and tell us we don't even need to vote again. I imagine the lines of T.S. Eliot's Prufrock from his poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. I imagine these lines coming from Jesus. And in the poem it says, "That's not what I meant at all. That is not it at all." This scene brings us full circle, which is, if nothing else, at least aesthetically delightful. Jesus has to escape his fans in much the same way he had to escape his adversaries early in the story. I'm so delighted that I don't even have time this morning now to talk about the delight of that stormy boat ride and the reassuring Jesus walking across the water. I have to leave that out. But for all the wisdom and the assurance and the guidance and the insight that we can find in the Bible, may we also never overlook the delight that God offers through the holy and confounding words and miracles found in Scripture. Miracle math, indeed. Amen. 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 I'm welcoming Spencer again this week. Pastor Matt is on vacation, and Spencer is in process of becoming, discerning his own path towards being a pastor in seminary, and you're preaching somewhere else in a few weeks, is that right?
Yeah, the next Sunday I'll be preaching at Point Pleasant in Elk Grove.
All right, y'all pray next Sunday. Absolutely. And so he's graciously agreed to work with me this morning. As we delight in God's word, may we together transition to God's table, where we witness and share in the delight of this sacred meal. And as we prepare, I invite us to stand in body and spirit. It is the church's tradition to stand and pause to acknowledge the ways we resist God's vision of care and love for all of God's beloveds. We call it a prayer of confession, and I know you're just freezing cold, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm so sorry, not sorry. Because this place used to be really bad with no air conditioning, so sorry, Rod. Let's pray our prayer together. Generous God, whose giving knows neither measure nor end, we confess that often we have kept our own hearts and hands closed. Forgive us for those moments with the fear that sharing what we have will lead to our own impoverishment, has kept us silent and still when those around us are in need. Forgive us for those situations when seeing only a problem rather than daring to dream a solution has left us bound and powerless where we might have been welcoming your creative spirit. Forgive us, loving God. Help us to transcend fear and to feel, think, and act as those who know the hope that is rooted in your generous grace. Mm. Through the power of the Holy Spirit within and around us, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ever imagine. So hear and believe this good news that in and through Jesus Christ, we are God's forgiven beloveds. Amen.
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 Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near to you. In the beginning, when all was
the Lord be with you,
and also with you,
lift up your hearts,
we lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator, touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated the earth from water and the water from the sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. God reached to the sky, and all kinds of things with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You are the one I've been imagining. You and everything you see around you is my beloved creation, and all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long because God's people could not be faithful despite God's generosity and goodness. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and put them inside a form the people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on the earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be if we would abide in God's love as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Jesus did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that, we couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, promises us, that he would never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming, going, and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and call out this mystery of faith. On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, "I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me."
Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart.
Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered in many places, God. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make all of us, through these gifts, Christ's body alive in the world. Let's say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those at home right now to bring close to you whatever it is you are using for communion this morning, your bread and your juice. Here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal in the front and in the back. We have platters of bread, and in the center is a gluten-free option for those of us that makes sense for. In the cup is always grape juice. We have places to pray all around our sanctuary, either kneeling or standing. We want to remind you, always, every week, there are people here for the very first time. And for them, this may be something really different and unique. And that is a good thing. And there are those among us for whom this is a life practice. And that is also a good thing. But always every week, we remind each other that you can't make a mistake, that we are in this divine dance of God's to the table and to prayer and back to our seats. We are in this divine dance of God in the world this day and every day. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you and for the whole world.
When you're scared to share your deepest truth, when your grief is thick and your wallet's thin, when they tell you you were born in sin, all means are, every heart, everyone, with all we carry, the strong and the weary, for you. In the days that had the cold and hard, when you don't see just what a gift you are, say all means are, every heart, everyone, with all we carry, the strong and the when you're wrapped up in
God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and this cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. 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 I just have a few words to say before we move out of this space. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. That is your generosity, which helps our community of faith align over and over again with God's fierce love, which is already at loose in the world. So thank you for practicing your faith in that way. I want to make a note. So there is bread. So for those of us who have ordered bread, that bread is there for normal. So here's what I want to ask. We have a few loaves to give away. And so I wanted to go to people who have never tried this bread before. And that could be because you don't want to. It could be because the price point isn't in your realm, and that is okay, but this is a morning, and there'll be bread to taste as well. We only have sleeves that say table bread to put it in, but this is rise up bread, all right? And so we have a few loaves out there to give away. As we stand to depart, I invite you, as we are standing, we are going to, what is our last song? What is it? Dig a little deeper. I have it written from last week, sorry. Dig a little deeper.
Digger.
if y'all noticed, but when Ariel started singing, she was standing like this. And now she's going like this. And that's what I want us to think about, our postures and our bodies this week as we go forth, praying for one another. Are we going to pray like this? Can we pray like this for one another, for our world, for the places and spaces in which the Olympians are moving, for our church, and for all the hope that we might bring into the world? May we dig a little deeper and pray a little harder this week. Amen.
God.